Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. All right. Hallelujah. And tonight we're going to talk about keep on hearing. I know it sounds really simple. I know it is a simple message. But it's one of those keys that if you overlook, you'll miss out on God's best. Because listen, you are a speaking spirit. You're made in the image of God. You are designed to talk. And what you're saying is going to directly affect you because you're the one hearing it. And thus, I'm talking about keep on hearing and hearing and hearing. Now, this is about the sower sowing the word. And there's a phrase here in chapter 13, verse 9, that, let me read it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that's a phrase that Jesus used a lot. Must be pretty important. He said this quite a few times in Revelations, and he says quite a bit in these parables, the sower sowing the seed. So let's look this a little closer. And notice, let's just start reading in verse. Well, look, first of all, let me say this. Verse 9, it says, He who has ears, let him hear. Ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that word hear means to, I got this written down, it means to listen, it means to take heed, and it means to obey. So, what he's saying here is to hear with the intent to obey. You know, James talked about don't be hearers only, but be doers. Well, James is saying the same thing. He said, you're hearing, you should be doing. And that's exactly what the word implies. The word hear means you're hearing me now talk, and you're receiving with the intent to do what the word says. What would be the point if you're hearing with no intent to even do? It'd be a waste of time. When Joanne talks to me, I hear with the intent to do. Now, when she sends me to the store, I always come back with something. If I don't remember, I always go to one section, the donuts, the junk food. I'll come back with something. Usually I include milk and eggs because that's usually a part of it. But anyway, we hear the word with the intent to do. So let's pick this up and we'll come back to verse 9 in just a minute. In verse 18, it says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Now you'll notice there's four grounds. We all know this, but I'm kind of going over this again. There's four grounds. And the fourth ground, the last ground we're going to talk about, is the good ground. Now, only one out of the four has a harvest. One out of four, that's not very good, is it? So I want to find out what happened here. What happened to these other three? What caused this fourth one to keep going? And the key is, I'll tell you in just a minute. I know you're at the edge of your seats. Wow. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. That anyone who hears, verse 19, anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is the one who received the seed by the wayside. Now, I can attest to this. This has happened to me. I was this guy back in the early 90s or mid 90s. I was this guy. I heard the word, but with no understanding, I had the comment or the my words that I said, it's not working. It's not working for me. So I heard the word, I didn't understand it. So the enemy came in with an easy doubt, with the seed, saying, it's not working for you. See, he makes it real personal. It wasn't until I started hearing, some of the big name ministries like Mark Pearl Ministries and Jerry Hagman Ministries, I started to catch on, you know. It goes on. Okay, let's go on. Verse 20, it says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit, produces some 100, 60, some 30. Now you'll notice in all four of these grounds, they have some things in common. They all heard the word, which is the seed of God. But the first three stopped hearing. Listen to what I'm saying. Other words, other things intervened, like persecution, or the first guy did not understand, and the second heard the word, and then tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake. In other words, things happened. They're no longer talking, no longer hearing what God said. Now they're hearing something else. Another report. All these things that the Scripture's talking about are ways or tools that the enemy uses to get the word out of you. If he can get you to listen to something else other than the word. See, our focus is the word only. You start mixing other things in, like cares of the world, you get too busy, I got to do this, I got to do that, and then that busyness begins to choke that seed, even though it may not be doubt initially, you're just busy, but if you keep on going down that road, doubt will have a place in that because you're no longer listening to the word. You're going to be filled up with something. You might as well be filled up with the word. Right? Be so filled up with the word that the enemy comes in, drops a seed in your thought life, you know exactly what to do because you're a doer of the word. You're hearing the word constantly, obeying the word constantly. See, you're going to bring forth a harvest. That's just the law of faith. So you hear and you keep hearing. And I'll go back to verse 9. It says, verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear, or ears to hear, let him hear. Now there's two words here, hear, and you look in the Greek, the second one means, which is the title, keep on hearing. So you could say this in verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him keep on hearing. That's I'm not going to say it's the main key, but it's one of the keys to this parable, is to keep hearing and hearing and hearing. You don't take any time off from the Word. You're constantly hearing. In other words, you're constantly talking the Word. Just like Abraham, what did God do to get him to go from a barren state? We talked about this last time, I believe. To go from that state of lack. God had to change his name from Abram to Abraham. Right? Listen now, Abraham, listen, he could have said, you know, let me say this. God changed his name to Abraham. Abraham could have said something like this. You know what? I'll give it a try. I'll switch my name. I'll switch it over to, I'll say Abraham 2 or 3 times. Then I'll go back. If that don't work, I'll go back to Abram. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But Abraham, thank God, he stuck with it, changed his name, and started to call himself Abraham. Right? Before any manifestation, before anything changed, he called himself Abraham. That's what God calls, calling those things which be not as though they were. That's how God operates. And Abraham is going to operate just like Dad, right? So God changes his name. First of all, he's got to get his mind renewed. Abraham's not the name now. It's Abraham. So now his mind is being renewed to what? That he is the father of many nations. He's every time he says that, every time, I am Abraham. I am the father of a multitude. I am. Every time. What's he doing? He's doing two things. God is renewing his mind to what God's called him to be. And plus, he's sowing seed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says he grew in faith, strengthened in faith, as he gave glory. Every time he said his name, he's giving God glory. Every time he said his name. Maybe, manifestation didn't come all at once, did it? But what's happening? He's hearing himself over and over and over and over. Other people are saying his name over. He's hearing us constantly. Faith is coming. It's not harvest time yet, but faith is coming. It's building up. A lot of times we get too anxious. I want it now. But you got to remember, you're dealing with seed. It's seed, time, harvest. Don't get all bent out of shape. I used to get a bent out of shape, you know, back in the 90s. I know I was trying to learn this. I was like, why come? I need faster. I need, you know, fast food stuff here. I need something to go. But you just got to learn. It's a learning process. So he's renewing his mind. And he's 100 years old. And he's calling himself Abraham. Okay, now you got to remember now, it doesn't take him real long because 9 months or within a year, Isaac comes out. It worked. God knows what he's doing. He knows that his word will work if you put it to work. You got to work the system. But not only did it work, not only did it produce Isaac, but it continued to work. It had to work. It had to. Why? Because he still called himself Abraham. He didn't go back to Abram. He stuck with the name. And the guy continued to produce. He's 170, 175. Before he died, he produced a lot of offspring. Now think of this now. God did that to Abraham with one word. One word. See, saints, it's not about, well, I know a lot, Pastor. I'm full of knowledge. Yeah, you're puffed up, I can see. Knowledge is good. But the question is, how much of it is revelation to you? The more you say it, the more you hear it, the process is, it will never, God's word will never return empty. It will do its work if you'll work it. I mean, well, Pastor Chuck, well, how many words does it take? Do I need to memorize? Well, it's not about memorizing, it's about meditation. It's about spending time in the Word, meditating. Listen, once you get revelation, it don't take, listen, when God made in Genesis, in the Hebrew, it says, light be. God just used two words, light be. He didn't quote a book. He spoke faith out of himself. It came within. Faith starts within. The seed has to be planted. And what you're doing, when you're constantly saying the word over and over, you're planting the word. You're renewing the mind. I mean, really, think about it. Light be. And there was no... You know, a lot, and I saw that, and I was like, well, and I was just thinking, if that had been me, I think I would have waited till I've done the sun first, the moon and the stars. That'd give us some light. See, you're saving energy. Been using wisdom and knowledge, you know, wisdom, and but God, He didn't wait for that. He just said, light be. He just called in what he wanted. Saints, you can call in any... If you get the seed and start calling, you start speaking. It may not happen overnight. There's times instant. I love that. But what do you do when you do that and you don't get that? See, that's another subject called patience or patient endurance. But listen, I still speak it. I still say what the Word says. Even though I don't have manifestation, I keep saying it. Because harvest is coming. The manifestation is coming. I'm not trying to get God to do something. It's on me. God has already moved. Now I got to move to receive what He's already done. In order for me to receive what's already done, I got to be in faith to receive His grace. See, we're talking about super. When we're talking about Abraham and faith, we're not talking about human faith. It's supernatural. It's not normal. When you believe God for healing based on the Word, that is supernatural. It is nothing natural about it. It starts with the seed. You plant the seed, and the seed starts to manifest. Sometimes it's, you know, the Bible talks about the ear, the blade, and the full corn in the ear. There's a process to this. Harvest comes. There's always a process to this. But it's supernatural. Faith came to Abraham because he was speaking God's word. God made it available for him. God has made His word available to us. If we'll hear it over and over and over and over, and even when healing comes, I'll still speak it the same thing over and over and over, and then do like Abraham, just walk in it. Just walk in it. Isn't this exciting? You can call forth anything. There's for every need, there's always a seed right in here. There's no reason to lack anything. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Look at verse... So let's look at the good ground. Verse 23. But it says, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands. Now underline that word understand. Because that understand means, and I'll just read it to you, if I can find it. I got too much stuff here. It means to perceive clearly, to bring together, or to set or bring together, to be enlightened. In other words, this guy had an understanding that if he continued to speak God's word, to hear God's word continually, not allow anything to come in, that understanding gives enlightenment. So I can see this guy, he's going through the same thing these guys are. He's facing the same obstacles, but he's got an understanding, or else you could say a light clicked on just because he heard the word. The other guys had the same opportunity, right? The other three grounds had the same opportunity, but this guy stuck with it. Understanding, I could see it increasing with degrees, because revelation comes in degrees. The longer he spoke the word, the more he heard the word, revelation is coming deeper. He's getting deeper and deeper into the things of God. He's, listen, when the light comes on, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 10, talks about after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle of sufferings. I probably didn't quote that right. But when you get an understanding of God's word, you're going to have to hold fast. This dude's holding fast. Why? Because he's got an understanding, a revelation knowledge at work. It's just not knowledge. It's revelation. And he's hanging on to it. He's talking. He's speaking. He's hearing the word over and over again. Understanding. You understand what I'm saying? So you may think you have all the revelation in that scripture. You may think you have it all. But if you spend time in meditation and speaking God's word, studying it out, there's always more depth to that word. Yep. Then that would bring you deeper and deeper into the faith walk. See, we've all been given a measure of faith. Don't ever say you don't have faith. You got a measure. But the question, how much of that measure are you using? We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Saints, we've got it made in this new covenant. You read the old covenant, and even in the Gospels, they don't have what we have. Well, I don't have any faith, Pastor Chuck. I don't have any faith. Now, don't. Now, see, you're saying that in ignorance, but Don't lie. You got faith. You know, you got the fruit of the Spirit, right? Right, yeah. You're born again, you get the fruit of the Spirit. Guess what? One of the fruits is faith. You're born again spirit. You're carrying. Faith doesn't come and go, but what comes and goes is what we're saying. You know, we say things, it's not working. You know, my back's killing me. Well, faith has nothing to work with that. Our high priest has nothing. He can't work with that. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Because this guy, he's got revelation, but he's going to have to hold fast to his words. He's going to continue. Luke chapter 8, and this is the same parable, but another viewpoint I want to point out. And Luke 8, chapter 15, it says, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, and bear fruit with patience. Now that word keep means to hold fast. It means to keep in memory. That's from the Strong's, to keep in memory. In other words, keep thinking about it. Put yourself in remembrance of His Word to help you hold fast. Because listen, there is a fight. It is a good fight of faith, and you always win. It's a fight though, right? The fight is to hold on. Hold fast to His Word. Because the enemy, he'll bring afflictions, persecutions for the Word's sake to loosen your grip so you could cast away your confidence, cast away your faith, which the Bible says has great reward and recompense. He knows there's a harvest attached to that Word. The devil knows there's a harvest. When you're standing on the Word of God, you're speaking the Word, He'll come against you this way, that way, any way He can to try to pry that Word out of you. Or He'll plant His seed in you, a thought that if you take hold, look, He'll drop a seed in your thought life. It's kind of like fishing. He'll keep dropping those little thoughts for you to take. Yeah. Now, if you take it by saying, now you got His thoughts of doubt working right beside the seed of faith. And when you have seed, His seed and God's seed together, God's seed won't work. How can that be? It won't work. Mark 11, 23. It won't work. Doubt in the heart, it shut your faith down. He's won a victory. Even though He wasn't able to take the word, God's Word out of you, but He dropped another seed in your thought life and you took it hook, line, and sinker and you start speaking it, now He's got a thought down in your heart. Now, it's neglecting your faith. Faith's trying to work, and it can't because of doubt. Now you're wavering. You're trying to believe God. You say, well, yeah, I believe God. I believe God. I believe that I received. And then an hour later, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Back and forth. James said, this man won't receive anything. Not a thing. Even though he's got both, he's got the word in working, but not with doubt working. So what you got to do? A good example of this, if you're fighting doubt, a good example is that I think it's in Luke chapter 7. Let's turn to Luke chapter 7. Chapter 7. I think it's verse 20. Here's a story about John the Baptist. Jesus called him the greatest man in the Old Testament. This is John the Baptist who was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. This is John the Baptist who announced the forerunner announcing about Jesus. He's the one that bared witness that this is the Christ. He saw the dove descending upon, or the Spirit of God, the dove descending on Jesus. There was no doubt in his mind, this is Jesus the Christ. But now we find in verse 20, he's in prison, and things haven't worked out like he thought they would. Have you ever had things not work out? You thought God said this, and man, I know it, and all of a sudden things ain't working. See, he's in prison. All of them thought that Jesus is going to bring the kingdom to the earth now at that point. It's not working. And Jesus isn't helping to get him out of prison. Cousins. And John has got some doubt. Let's read here. Verse 20. Then the men had come to him, and they said to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now look at Jesus' response in verse 21. He doesn't really answer them, does he? Isn't that just like God? I mean, they ask them a question, and then it's like God said, "Well, I'm not going to answer that until verse 22." But actually, he is. Verse 21, it says, in that very hour, he cured many of the infirmities and afflictions and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. You get that? So what's Jesus doing? What's the deal here? What he's doing, he did two things. He's given his disciples eyewitness of healings, miracles. Plus, the second thing, he's telling the disciples, go and tell John what you witnessed. In other words, Jesus is quoting a scripture, actually. In your reference, you may have it. This Bible doesn't have it, but my study Bible has verse 22. Jesus is quoting Isaiah 35. I think it's verse 5. In other words, go tell John what you've seen. Tell him exactly what I'm telling you. Actually, he's telling him the word. Take the scripture, take these words, take this scripture back to John. See, John knows exactly what this scripture is. In other words, when in doubt, go back to the word. Jesus sees John in doubt, so he gives him God's best, the word. The disciples left with the word for John to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, John, listen, Jesus could have said a lot of things here. He could have got real emotional. He could have said, well, John, we're praying for you. We got the 12 boys behind me, the 18. We're abandoned together. We're praying for you. All those things are good. Hang in there, John. Hang in there, John. But he answers with the word. God's best. Amen. When you're in doubt, always go back to the word. Amen. Well, but are you? You're trying to tell me that if I'm in doubt, I should. Yeah, when you're in doubt, start feeding on the word. When you're in doubt, get back in there. Get right back. Listen, doubt won't hang around. This is the antidote for doubt. If you're doubting, Get into the Word. Start hearing. Start hearing over and over again. Allow faith to get its momentum built back up. John needed a little help. Saints, we're not immune from this. It can happen. You could have an off day. I know everyone's on cloud nine. I mean, I'm like the eagle, you know? But things happen. You may have to, I feel a little wavering. Circumstances can do that to you. A little wavering. I got to get back in. You get back in the Word. Get back. Start hearing it. Listen, you're good ground. You got to see yourself as good ground. God has invested a lot in you. So don't cast your confidence away because you're having a bad day or you're in doubt. Just get right back in the game. If it happened to John the Baptist, of course, he was filled with the Spirit. I don't quite understand it, but he was filled with the Spirit. The Bible says that. How you like to live 30 years and prepare for a 6-month ministry, then he basically had one call, one thing. Now, he was in prison for a little bit. I don't know how long he was, but it could have been a little while. But it wasn't, wow, what a ministry. You like to have that ministry, anyone? Woo! Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Hallelujah. Are you there? Verse 31. John 8:31 and then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you believe in my, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now that word abide could also mean dwell, but I got it written down in my Bible and I did a little research. It also means to continue. If you continue in my word. See, this is what good ground does, saints. It continues. The other three stopped. And they stopped because they were no longer hearing the good report. They were no longer giving the gospel, the good news, first place. They gave place to other things. But good ground, say this, say, "I am good ground."
I am good ground.
Thank you for that enthusiasm. And good ground always continues. It says, if you abide in me, if you continue in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, the word, and the truth shall make you free. Now the Amplified Bible says, if you abide in my word, hold fast, we're talking about, right? Hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them. You are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So it's in the continuing. You continue. It's when you continue in the Word, it'll do something to you that nothing else will do, saints. You know, Kenneth Hagin talked about this. I can't get this story straight, but he said we'd have all kinds of services. We'd have set getting free services, get loose services. But he noticed after a period of time, all those things wore off. All the emotions went to the wayside. He'd go out and visit these people. And he knew by talking to these people, they were no more free than what they were before. They are still in bondage. Saints, you cannot replace the Word. And that's one thing that Kenneth Hagin always said about these other preachers. He said, your ministry, I'll still be around. You won't. Because my ministry is based on the Word. Your ministry is based on the gifts of the Spirit. Praise God for the gifts of the Spirit. We should covet, desire all those gifts. But the Word's always first. Because the gifts of the Spirit may not be moving for you, the gifts of healing. I'm just waiting for a gift of healing. Well, you know, how long you want to wait? You want to wait 38 years? But the Word always works. In other words, it'll make you free. And once you're free, you can walk, continue to walk in that freedom. It's a liberty. It's the Word will never let you down. If you'll give it place, saints, just hear it over and over and over. I know I'm saying the same thing over, but I'm telling you, I'm helping myself. Now let's close. There's a lot of things we can talk about. We're going to move on here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll close with this, I believe. Eyes are getting heavy. I know. It's 8 o'clock. It's almost 8 o'clock. My goodness. Eyes are bloodshot. My goodness. Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, of course, this is one of those scriptures that you always go to, right? I mean, it's one of those. My son, give attention to my words. Now, when it says give attention, saints, he's not talking about half-time in it. He's talking about give undivided attention. Focus. Not just because, you know, listen, saints, listen. When we come to church, that's how I look at it. When we come to church, to me, it's like coming to a restaurant. You sit down, you got, you know, like a 5-course meal, 4-course meal in front of you. You just sit down, pastor, I mean, he gives that meal to you. You just sit back, you know, you receive it, right? You hear the Word. But you're only in church a couple times a week, right? It's just like in the natural. You only go to a restaurant in the natural. I mean, on average, I don't know, once or twice a week. Some of you go every night, I don't know. But usually, on average, Shelby goes every day. It depends on your job. But on average, you only go to a restaurant maybe once or twice a week. Okay, we'll just go with that. But you're at home all the time. Most of your meals are at home. It's just like that. It's like that spiritually. You're at home most of the time. Most of your meditation, your reading, your feeding is at home. You're not going to get, it's just the way it is. And it says here, this is what you should do at home. My son, give attention to my words, undivided attention. Incline. Listen, I mow my yard every week. I attend to that yard every week. And I take that back. We had worm problem. We had an army of worms marching through my yard. And 2 weeks' time, all the good stuff was gone. I never seen that happen in my entire life. Those rascals. Isn't that the devil? He would do something like that. So anyway, I called the guy. So he's going, the guy's coming out. But I have to attend to my yard every week. You have to tend to dishes every day. There's certain things you attend to, but when you attend to God's Word, the payback is unbelievable. You always get back more than you sow. You put time in, man, God will take care of you. Amen. But you're going to have to put it first place. You're going to have to attend, give it your full attention. And it goes on to say, incline your ear. Incline. In the Hebrew, it talks about in the natural, you wanted to really hear somebody, you would bend the ear or you would bend yourself to a place that you could hear better. Incline your ear. When I talk to Joanne, I incline my ear. Actually, it means to draw close. God wants you to draw close to Him and hear what He has to say. Incline. That means you have to do some. Oh, it's come down to that. You have to do something. It's effort. It's not automatic. This ground, good ground, is not automatic. If you're waiting for God to do something, He's done it. All the finished, the works are done. You have to incline your ear to draw close to Him. Fellowship in His Word, meditate in His Word is big. Meditation is big, saints. I can't, you know, Joshua, it's huge. I guarantee if you're not spending time in meditation, which involves muttering, which involves speaking, you're missing out on God's best. I guarantee it. You're not going to see the results that you want to see. You have to get in His Word, draw close to Him in meditation. Again, that doesn't happen. Prayer. See, he's talking. See, when he says incline your ear, not only just to hear, but he's talking about fellowship. See, it's more than just, you know, I want that, I need this, you know. It's about fellowship. It's like in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 talks about, saints, listen, I'm going off script, but when I go in my prayer closet to fellowship, I would say 90% of the time, I always refer back to Romans chapter 1. I go in and I present myself to Him as a living sacrifice. Of course, I always start with praise and worship. I'm not going to get into the protocol, but I'm just saying when I go into my prayer closet, I present myself to Him as a living sacrifice. In other words, I present myself spirit, soul, and body. I don't go into my prayer closet, you know, and talk to Him, and my mind's on McDonald's, Big Mac meal. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I give everything to Him. Now, it takes a while to do that, because sometimes your mind's going, but once you get calmed down and settled, one of the things I always present to Him is praying in the Spirit. What's the one member that is one of the probably the it's the hardest member to tame without the whole, it's the tongue. So I always spend time yielding, not only, I yield everything, including my tongue, by praying in the Spirit. So I'm presenting myself to Him. Then verse 2 says, it's connected with verse 1. Verse 2 talks about the renewing of the mind. Why do you want your mind renewed? Because I want to know the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Some call that the 30-60-100 foe. It's the renewing of the mind that brings you into the 60-100 foe. The renewing. In other words, the renewing, you're hearing and hearing and hearing. Boy, we could talk a lot about 1 and 2. If you want to know the perfect will of God for your life, focus on those two verses. It'll take you. You'll know. But anyway, incline your ear to my sayings. It's talking about fellowship. It's talking about the Word. It goes on to say, do not let them depart from your eyes. Now see, it's not the ear gate, the eye gate. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life, saints, life to those who find them, and medicine, health to all your flesh. Saints, God wants you well. He wants you whole. He wants you in total peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. But you got to do your part. You got to incline your ear. You got to put His Word first. You got to do what He says. It's a constant work, saints. It's never done. You never come to a place on this earth and say, well, you know, I guess I've arrived. There is no such thing as arriving. You're pressing on, and you'll continue to press on until you meet Jesus face to face. There's a lot more I got to stop. Or pass time. Incline your ear. Put the Word first. You're good ground. You're good ground. You have an understanding. Pastor Mark is the best teacher you could ask for. I have learned. The things I'm teaching you now, I learned it from him. Pastor Jerry. It's a learning process. There's no way I have arrived, but I have left the starting gate. I left the starting gate. I'm catching up with y'all, maybe, huh? Put the Word first, saints. We're doers of the Word. We love His Word. I love the Word because I know it's pleasing to Him. When I do His Word, revelation knowledge is the key, but man, I love His Word, spending time in His Word, knowledge of His Word, and then put it to work. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.